X.
Hello and welcome to the XX Files on CKUT 90.3 FM and in real audio at www.ckut.ca. Yes, you are here in Montreal or maybe virtually somewhere else, and it is Wednesday, July the 6th. We're well into the summer and well into the Jazz Fest. As well as other festivals that are going to be coming or are happening in town. Of course, I'm talking about things like the Francophonie, the Just for Laughs, the Off Festival, Off Jazz Festival, the Film Festival near the end of the summer. Incredible stuff. That Balloon Festival at Saint-Jean-sur-Richelieu. So it's just a wonderful time. A bit overwhelming. I was at the Jazz Fest on Saturday, and it's amazing how people just kind of come at you. So many people out there. It's incredible. And I saw that a big hit were those mangoes shaped like flowers. And if you put a little chili pepper on it, they taste pretty good. They actually kind of taste like marinated meat to me. And I'm not a mango fan, but I did like it with the chili on it. So this week on the XX Files, you just heard actually Pink Martini coming in with Hang On Little Tomato. They actually played the first night of the Jazz Fest, so I thought I'd bring a little of the Jazz Fest to the show today. And also, since this is radio, of course, is an excellent topic to cover. It is definitely a technology. It's a communication technology. And someone who came in recently to Montreal to speak about radio and telematic projects was Heidi Grundmann. She lives in Vienna. She has worked as a cultural reporter, an art and theater critic, an editor, a program producer at the Austrian National Radio and Television since the 1970s. She is probably best known for her role in organizing telematic and network art projects since the 70s, and she is also known for being one of the founders of Kunstradio, Radio Kunst. In 1987, she created this radio program, and it's a one-hour weekly broadcast, which is a radio art program that exhibits radio experimentation and radio art. She has also curated and organized many international events, symposiums, and exhibitions related to art practice in electronic media, specifically radio, television, and the internet. And just to give you an idea, first of all, about telematic projects, there's a great article at studioxx.org's website. And it's an article by Anna Friz, of course, a well-known sound artist in her own right. Anna Friz writes, "Artists working with telematics such as ham, pirate, and community radio, telephony, telefacsimile, teleconferencing, and slow scan video in the 1970s and 80s were interested in building an ephemeral, temporal sculpture which couldn't be displayed in a gallery or museum because there was no actual art object produced. Authorship was collective, and transmissions were sent and received between points in a network, deliberately avoiding one single site of artistic creation. Often the artists themselves had no idea of the scope or size of the piece. This kind of network art began to realize the aspirations of early avant-garde artists such as Bertolt Brecht, who conceived of radio as a means of diffusion and radiation, a many-to-many format, unlike the classic one-to-many radio model. These network-based artworks represented a search for human meaning in electronic space." Again, that was from an article by Anna Friz, and it's actually an article about Heidi Grundmann and her role with telematic projects and with radio. Heidi was here last month or 2 months ago, she did come to Studio XX to speak about her work within radio art, telematic projects. So I do have an excerpt here from her talk, and this sort of begins with information about the basic nature or reason for telecommunication projects in the 70s and 80s. That's where this talk starts off. And she's talking about opinions from someone named Robert Adrian. He did a project called The World in 24 Hours in the 80s. And he is a well-known radio art artist. And here's Heidi Grindman.
The basic theoretical concept was first to demonstrate the global nature of electronic networks and also the fact that most of the globe is missing from the network. In brackets, all of Africa, South America, most of Eastern Europe and Asia at the time. Secondly, to challenge the hegemony of the one-to-many broadcast media by using the telephone system for one-to-one multimedia interaction. So you see, it is really reinventing radio. Third, to make a statement about a new role for the artist in the age of electronic media as a creator of the space for art rather than as a mere producer of objects. And I think that is a very, very interesting and important notion, and also for the later telematic radio art projects, that there are artists who take on the role to define the space, make the space, make it free where others, whether artists or not artists, can become active. And there are quite a few artists who see this as their role. And again, some of them see it as sculpture, a sculptural space of social interaction. So then I have another. These are so the radio art in the third sector of broadcasting, as it was so obvious in Canadian history. The telecommunication projects were two of the very important routes for me from which I learned about all these things. And then there was another thing which I have to say, I'm not proud of it, I only encountered basically when it was a very mature art and shown already in an special department of the Documenta in Kassel in 1987, and that was the Ars Acoustica. And Ars Acoustica, of course, was based on all the movements of the avant-garde, of the futurists, Russolo, and so on, and on the history of German radio drama, and on the Musique Concrète, and electronic music as produced by public radio institutions after the Second World War, on Cage. And it was one of the main production centers was in Cologne with the WDR in Cologne, and the producer was Klaus Schöning, and he was the curator of that department for the Documenta 8 in 87. And there was a big audio take with historical pieces, and it was really impressive. And in the catalog, Schöning defined Ars Acoustica as an art with its own utopia, a world made out of language which tends towards sound, and a world of sounds and ubiquitous noises and the symbiosis of all of these, and sound organization by means of electronic technology, transgressing borders and mixing disciplines. But, according to Schöning in the same catalog, Ars Acoustica was also an administrated art, meaning an art initiated, produced, and presented by the official public broadcasting institutions in accordance with the various rules of these organizations and their radio experts. And very soon after this, I think in 88, or the end of 87, I read here in my own notes, the so-called Ars Acoustica Group was founded, of which at one time not anymore, I'm afraid, Radio Canada was part of and was a very important member of. And this Ars Acoustica group is made out of all the radio art producers in public radio in Europe, now also, of course, Eastern Europe, and in associated countries like Canada and Australia, for instance. And, of course, Klaus Schoening was the initiator of that group and the first coordinator. And one of the reasons he founded that group was, of course, that not all the experts inside the radio institutions were prepared to really consider Ars Acoustica an important field of production. So he thought very rightly that all the radio producers together in a visible group could support each other and could help each other whenever there was danger. And there's very frequently danger for radio art projects, but not always with such a tragic end as in Radio Canada. And I was then also invited to the founding of this group at the end of 87, because in December 87 I had the chance to found or to rededicate my radio slot, the weekly slot I used to report about visual arts. I could change it into a space for radio art. And because I had met all these radio artists, I knew there was such a thing, and that this radio art produced outside of the public institution and many times also by visual artists was not always the same thing as the Ars Acoustica would have been, and especially one had one big difference. There were no radio experts administrating or judging it or controlling it or making sure that this radio art was conforming to the rules of the organization and to broadcast quality and whatever these notions were. So it was really the artists themselves were the producers and curators, the ones who had the slots on independent radio or had friends who had such slots for broadcasting. So
we need to advance onto the audio and onto the online, I think.
Yes, we're coming exactly there. So Kunstradio, well, very soon there came a third generation of telematic artists, Austrian telematic artists. They were doing network projects, mainly using MIDI over the telephone to trigger events in the other locations, which was replacing the telephone music, where the sound itself was sent over the telephone, and replaced also the special aesthetics of this telephone music and telephone performances, because when they sent data over the telephone modem to the other location, there high-quality sound was triggered in sequencers or whatever was standing there, samplers and so on. And with this model and projects like that, they came to Kunstradio as an interface to the infrastructure and transmission time in the context of national public radio. And so a whole series of very interesting projects developed. One initiator of such projects was Mia Zabelka, a young composer and extreme violinist, she called herself. And then there was the Italian group Giardini Pensili, was Andres Bosshardt, a Swiss artist. And there was the group X Space from Graz, which was Gerfried Stocker, Horst Hörtner and Martin Schitter, and Seppo Gründler. And this is now a very, very short excerpt from a longer piece that took place simultaneously in the entrance halls of three regional broadcasting houses in Austria, in the provinces, And they are architecturally identical. So these entrance halls in these three different cities look the same. And in each of the entrance halls, there was a live performance. And the artists used all the lines between these broadcasting houses as their connection to interact with each other. So, for instance, Mia Zabelka in Salzburg was playing a violin robot by Martin Riches in Innsbruck. The violin robot was 250 kilometers away in the broadcasting house in Innsbruck. And she had these interfaces built by the group X-Space to interact with the violin robot.
And
I don't know whether one can. We have not tried it out, have we?
I think we're plugged in at the moment. So.
Actually, the sound was very good. That was very nice. No, it was so good that the Austrian radio, I mean, probably didn't have anything else they thought was interesting, but in the end, they sent the radio version of this to the Pre-Italia.
Here we go.
So, and that is Gerfried Stocker in Innsbruck, yeah, and he has this data loft that also he built himself, and he was playing the drums in Salzburg and a vibraphone in the third city in Bregenz, another 250 kilometers away. Of course, I mean, he did not think about his look, you know, there so much, although there was a live audience in each of the locations. As you know, he is now the director of the Ars Electronica Center and the Ars Electronica Festival. And Horst Hörtner, the other one of X-Space, is the technical director of the Future Lab in Linz.
It's really a particular era, isn't it?
yeah. But at any rate, there was a third... This was in 1992, and in 93, then there was a follow-up including television, which was, I won't go into that, we have no time, but it was a very, very interesting project. So in 1995, the Kunstradio Online was founded by artists, and it had the same structure as today. Actually, the structure was even thought of as a little bit bigger than it is now. And also the design, I mean, really the look of it was already made in 1995. And it was again Robert Adrian who was the one who made the structure and the design, and was also then the continuing head of the web team of Kunstradio Online, which consists entirely of artists. Even now they are artists. And they were thinking of it not only as a medium of announcing the programs, but also of an archive of all the programs. And then they also were thinking about theories online, and they were thinking about CDs that could be offered online. And of course, all the information also about the Ars Acoustica group. And they were thinking of it, and that was the reason why it was founded exactly 10 years ago in April. It started. They thought of the preparation of networked telematic radio projects, like, for instance, Horizontal Radio, which at the time was in preparation, and also of somehow archiving it. And this Horizontal Radio was really a reinventing radio. It was the Ars Acoustica group that was the basis for it, with all their there are networks of lines, of all kind of lines and so on, but it was, the concept was made by artists. The initial, I remember it was a very informal meeting in Vienna where José Ixes and Concha Jerez from Spain, where Andres Bosshardt from Switzerland, and so on, and of course then there was Gerfried Stocker, and Gerfried Stocker wrote a concept and presented it to the Ars Acoustica group and convinced them to do it, you know, which was not so easy, but then they embarked on such a thing, which was really, and it was dedicated to the world in 24 hours and was also supposed to go on for 24 hours with not all the locations active all the 24 hours, but in the framework of the 24 hours. And so there were so many, over 20 radio stations were part of it. But there were also, especially in Italy, some autonomous radios. There were all kind of venues for concerts, for exhibitions, artist-run spaces, and there were individual artists in their studios participating. And again, with whatever means were there.
And that was Heidi Grundmann. She is a cultural reporter, art and theater critic, and radio producer. She was speaking about founding Kunstradio, Radio Kunst, as well as other telematic network art projects, radio art projects. She's quite big in the whole radio art scene. And if you are interested in checking out more about Heidi Grundmann, and first of all, you can spell her last name G-R-U-N-D-M-A-N-N. And a good place to start would be Studio XX's website. They've got the DPI magazine online. And Anna Friz does an interview with Heidi Grundmann. Just a taste of it. This is one quote from Heidi when she's asked about radio and what continues to fascinate her about radio. She says that radio is still the most ubiquitous and accessible medium in the world, always adapting itself to the changing mediascape instead of, as it had been predicted many times, dying off. At the same time, radio technologies have become the main basis of communication between people and machines, and between machines and machines. It is precisely these changes and adaptations of the broadcast medium, as well as the importance of radio technologies, that has captured the attention of artists since the beginning of the 20th century. And maybe one can add there, though it's not Heidi's quote anymore, the 21st century. So, again, that's Heidi Grundmann. So start off maybe with the Studio XX website, but also if you just type in Heidi Grundmann's name in a search engine, you will definitely come up with tons of links, including her But Is It Radio article that's well known. And now here's a message from CKUT.
CKUT is hiring financial and administrative staff. The administration finance staff is hiring financial and administrative staff. The administration finance staff is responsible for overseeing the administrative and financial operations of CKUT. The admin finance staff works in conjunction with the board of directors as well as the steering and finance committees to ensure that CKUT's bookkeeping and administrative tasks are in order and assists in facilitating communications between committees. For full details, please check out CKUT's website at www.ckut.ca. If you have experience crunching numbers or if you have negotiation savvy, please send us your CV with a cover letter to CKUT Administration and Finance Staff, 3647 University, H3A2B3, or send your CV and cover letter to accounting@ckut.ca. Deadline for application is July 8th. Only those being considered for an interview will be contacted.
And welcome back to the XX Files on this very nice and pleasant July 6th in Montreal. You're listening to CKUT 90.3 FM and online. You can check out www.ckut.ca. It is very lovely outside. It's probably about 24 degrees. Bit cloudy, but much more comfortable than yesterday's incredible rainstorm. I heard people saying things like, I haven't seen this since 1987. And if you didn't know, 1987, there was a horrible flood in Montreal. So it wasn't that bad, but people who were in the Lakadi circle at the time of the big rainfall may not agree with me. Just some community notes. The World Dance Group, the Danse Mondiale, are holding workshops. The Kuntumba Afro-Cuban Dance and Percussion workshops have started off. And if you're interested in things like African Mouvement, Palo Dance, Cuban Salsa, or percussion such as African Congo rhythms, Afro-Haitian rhythms, or rumba, then contact Ramona at 928-0562 or email worlddancegroup@yahoo.ca and you'll get information on venues, reservations, and just so you know, the costs are $30 per class, and this is a group that has come up to perform, to do these workshops. So check that out. And also something else is In and Out of the Sound Studio Summer Workshop. This is an outgrow of a SHRC-funded multi-university research project headed by Dr. Andrew McCartney, who's at Concordia University. And the conference will take place at Concordia between July 25th and 29th of this year. It will focus on gender and sound technologies. Artists, scholars, and producers in such areas as museum sound, theater sound, film, video, digital media, video game sound design, electroacoustic music, community radio, radio art, and much more will be in attendance. And performances will take place at Concordia's Oscar Peterson Hall, as well as at Studio XX, at the SAT, and CKUT Radio. So if you are interested, check out the concordia.ca website. And registration is $150 for professors and $75 for independent students. And some cool people will be there, like Hildegard Westerkamp, among many others. So that's it for this week on the XX Files. Hope you get out there and enjoy what the city has to offer in these wonderful summer days and weeks. And I'll end off, as I began, with some Pink Martini. And Pink Martini tends to sing in a number of different languages. On this latest album, Hang On Little Tomato, they've got songs in Japanese, in Italian, in French, and in Spanish, and also in Croatian. And I am of Croatian black background, so I'm very happy to see that. It's a song called U Plavu Zoru, which means In the Blue Dawn. And take care, and until next week on the XX Files. Ciao!
This message is intended for all Quebecers. We must take extreme measures to curb the pandemic. Only essential services remain open. Gatherings are prohibited. It's forbidden to leave your home between 8 p.m. and 5 a.m. These efforts aim to protect our healthcare workers, seniors, and loved ones. Let's comply with the lockdown and curfew to lower the risk of contracting COVID-19, because our health is important. For more information, visit quebec.ca/confinement. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
Now more than ever, the simplest gestures are our best protection to fight the virus. That's why we need to continue following basic health measures, such as keeping a 2-meter distance from others, wearing a mask, and washing our hands regularly. Avoid travel and non-essential trips. And if you develop symptoms, be sure to get tested promptly and follow self-isolation guidelines. See all of the measures in place at quebec.ca/coronavirus. Let's continue to protect ourselves. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec. Promptly and follow self-isolation guidelines. See all of the measures in place at quebec.ca/coronavirus. Let's continue to protect ourselves. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec. Thank you.
If only I could find myself.